back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well. You know, it's a short week. Thank you to George Washington and our great presidents for having a birthday. So we were off, at least I was off, on Monday. Perks of working at a school district, so that was cool. But yeah, you know, it's just about Friday again already, which is nice.
Yeah, not complaining at all there. I too had to use the floating holiday to celebrate, you know, the good old USA presidents. So it was a nice, enjoyable weekend. Some had a little bit more fun than others, per se. But no, all in all, you know, hockey's in the full swing of things. The Flyers are playing some meaningful games, Matt, and there was a pretty big event, which we'll get into this weekend. But we have a decent, chocked full podcast for everyone this week. Yep. Starting off with some news that perhaps we wish would have dropped before our podcast last week, but dropped later the day after. The Flyers finally have announced an official leadership core and have named the 20th captain in franchise history. And unless you've been living under a rock and you're a Flyers fan, you know this news, but we need to address it on the podcast because that's what we do. But Sean Couturier, surprise, surprise, has been named the 20th captain in franchise history, with Scott Laughton and Travis Konecny being named as assistant and or / alternate captains, depending on how you want to address it. Mm-hmm. But Matt, your thoughts on the Flyers' new leadership core?
I mean, is the word perfect too much to say in that situation? I think that, you know, it was kind of in the dark about when the Flyers were going to name a captain after they traded Claude Giroux and the fact that they're going through a rebuild. I think that Couturier is a great choice, and that Laughton and Konecny are definitely, again, great choices for alternate captains, assistant captains, tomato, whatever you will call them. They both get the A, which is good. And then, you know, I think Couturier, I don't want to call him a sleeper pick, but I know that one of the main reasons why it took this long, I was just looking at an article from Bill Meltzer on the Flyers website, just saying how I think the organization wanted to make sure that Couturier was healthy, first of all, to make sure that he could take up the mantle of captain. And, you know, he's a guy that this team sees as a mainstay. He's honestly, which is crazy how time flies, he's a vet on this team already. Been in the league now for, what, 8 years? Maybe even more, because we got him. He was the 7th overall pick, or is he 7th or 11th overall?
He was 7th overall.
Because we got him as part of the, was it the
Jeff Carter trade?
Jeff Carter, that's what it was.
He was part of the Jeff Carter trade. It was, we got the 7th overall pick, Jake Voracek, in exchange for Jeff Carter from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And that was 2011 draft.
So Couturier has been in the league for 13 years already?
Yeah.
Dude, what the hell?
Yeah.
Wow. We're old.
He's played 771 career games in 12 seasons.
Wow. That's scary how time flies. But anyway, aside from my existential crisis, you know, I think that it's a great choice for a captain. I think Couturier has grown into a leader. And, you know, he can just kind of a different captain than maybe yours. I feel like he's more of a similar captain to how Giroud was, where, you know, a bit of a quiet presence, but also a, you know, a lead by example type of guy, and also a player who can kick his team in the ass if they need it as well. You know, he's got one win under his belt as captain so far, which is awesome. And then, you know, I mean, to have guys like Lawton and Konechny backing you up as well, they've been mainstays on this team for, you know, forever too, which is crazy. But, yeah, I think, again, you know, this was the, again, like, the perfect trio to pick as your leadership group. You have a guy like Lawton who, again, you know, he's older than Konechny. I'm making myself look stupid here, but
yeah, he's three years older than Konechny.
Yeah, but again, you know, time flies. These guys seem like they just got in the NHL yesterday, but they've been here for, you know, obviously 10 plus years now, which is crazy. But there's really not much more to say. I think, again, the one thing that I was going to be curious about too is with Lawton and Konechny. And again, it's only going to get worse as it gets closer, but with the trade deadline coming up in the next couple weeks, I don't think you would name a guy the assistant captain of your team and then trade him. I could be wrong. I don't know. But, you know, obviously those rumors are going to ramp up here, like I said, with the trade deadline being on March 8th, I believe.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. That's a whole different story, and obviously we'll touch on that when it does get closer to the deadline. I haven't really seen any rumblings of anything like that, too. Just to put it lightly and, you know, very briefly, I feel like the Flyers could possibly be strategic sellers, but with them being, you know, in the playoff mix, which is still wild to me, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
do.
Yeah, exactly. For all the kids out there. But I mean, again, there's not really much else I could say about how much I feel like this is also a very rare time where Flyers Twitter unanimously agrees with something. I didn't see anyone notably be like, you know, up in arms or butthurt about Couturier being named the captain. You know, you can give it to either any one of the three guys, but there's a reason why. And
yeah,
you know, I think, again, if you're a real teammate, you're, you know, congratulatory. You're like, hey man, like, you know, especially as an assistant captain with Lawton or Konechny, you're like, you know, whatever we can do to help steer everything in the right direction with you, you know, we'll always be there to go to bat. So I think that's a great leadership group, and you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
You know, I'm personally a big fan of this trio. Obviously, Lawton's been wearing the letter, been wearing the A since last season. And I know a lot of people were surprised because there was a couple of reporters who would always ask Torts, when are you going to name a captain? Are you going to name a captain? He was like, no, I'm not going to. I'll do it when the team is ready. And I guess with Torts and Jonesy and Brière deciding to name this leadership core now, you know, they must think they're maybe partially ahead of schedule, or they just really think that this locker room is really gelled and now was the appropriate time. And definitely, I think, Matt, you hit the bullet right on the head there with the Flyers wanting to see if Coots was going to be fully healthy and be able to return to playing at the level he has been known to in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely, you know, it made sense. And it was a point we made even earlier in this year where I was like, why doesn't Sean Couturier have at least an A on his sweater? Well, now he's wearing the C, and rightfully so.
He's getting the C.
Yeah, so I'm all for it. You know, I'm a big fan of Lawton having a letter. I thought maybe at one point I was all aboard the Lawton captaincy train. You know, that could still maybe happen down the line. Who knows? You know, he could be, like you alluded to, maybe traded at the deadline. I know the teams have been inquiring about Lawton. Yeah. But the Flyers have gone on the record today, really don't want to trade Scott Lawton. But, I mean, the fact that you've also now named TK an assistant captain alongside him, if you traded, you know, Lawton, and if you haven't named any other captains, that could be the thing that could probably really derail a locker room. Mm. But now if he does get traded, you still have two other people with letters in the room where there's a core to build around still. And then you obviously give the other letter that Scott, that Lawton had to someone else. But it sounds like as of right now, you know, unless the Flyers really fall off a cliff, I don't see them potentially trading Scott Lawton unless a team really comes in and offers, you know, multiple first round picks for him. In that case, you'd be stupid not to do it. Yeah. But no, I really do love this. And I really love the step up that Konechny's been showing as a leader these past 2 years. Like, you know, it's crazy to think, you know, he's 26 years old now. He's no longer the young, feisty rookie, young kid on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a leader. He's depended, you know, he's the team's best offensive player besides Owen Tippett, you know, and he is a key cog in everything. And so when TK is rolling, the team is normally rolling in a positive direction. So, I am really a big fan of this leadership trio. I think in recent years, the only time I haven't been a fan of someone wearing a letter was Andrew McDonald when he wore a letter for some reason. But, you know, I really, you make a good point too, Matt. Like, I really haven't seen too many people being up in arms about Coots, TK, and Lawton being the leadership core. Of course, you know, our good friend Pashree Hoagies, Hoags had sent out the good old tweet of hashtag not my captain when the news broke as a joke, and he had to clarify the next day. But it was, you know, saw that coming from a mile away. Sorry, Hoags. Yeah. But you know, he too is also on board. So all great things there. It's nice to see finally the Flyers are a team where it always felt weird not having a captain. And now it's like another thing that just goes, okay, this is right. Like, they're back on the right path. This is a good team. This is a good locker room. And they can officially do this again. So all things considered there, you know, heading in the right direction. You would have wished this trio could have gotten a win sooner than they did. That leads us into our weekend review segment here, Matt. Still, the Flyers are playing, you know, they are playing technically better. I mean, in their last 10 games, they technically are, you know, 5-4-1. But really, they're still, you know, if you count the start of since February, you know, they're 1-2-3-4. They're 4. Well, no, they're 5. They're 5-1-1 since the 5-game losing streak. So all in all, they've really turned their play around. They're still currently sitting third of the Metropolitan Division. They have a 7-point lead over the New Jersey Devils and New York Islanders for third place in the Metro Division. So they have a comfortable lead in a Metropolitan Division playoff spot. But since we last recorded last week with good old Rocco from the FAP Sport blog, we've got a couple games to discuss. That being, of course, last Thursday, a week ago from today's overtime loss against the Toronto Maple Leafs, a game in which the Flyers scored first, then went down thanks to Austin Matthews scoring a natural hat trick in the second period. They battled back late. Within the last 5 minutes of the game, they tied up, eventually then losing in overtime. Of course, the 6-3 loss to the New Jersey Devils to the Stadium Series game, which you, of course, were boots on the ground for, Mastro. Mm-hmm. A game in which was very clunker-filled and which they, frankly, got goalied because the Flyers really were the better team in the second period where they put 20-plus shots on net. But they ran to hot goalie and Dawes the Devils. And then, of course, you go to last night's game, which was the quote-unquote trap game, and Torts addressed that right after in his presser after the same series game. He's like, I'm really worried about the game against Chicago, where he told the media that game scares the shit out of me. but the Flyers came into it. They scored first. Chicago did tie it up off kind of a bad play. Yeah. But then they settled into things. The Flyers proved that they were the better hockey team. Connor Bedard really wasn't a factor at all, and the Flyers come out with a 3-1 win. So, Matt, what are your thoughts here on these past trio of games?
I feel okay. I think the two losses, they don't worry me, but just to have them happen in the circumstances that they did, I think is a little bit worrisome. You know, obviously the Flyers had that momentum with that, what, 4-game winning streak, mm-hmm. Beginning of the month. And then The Toronto game, I don't know if – I wouldn't call it a trap game. I didn't really get to watch most of that, but I did see that the Flyers obviously came back late in the game and then lost an OT, which, you know, OT loss, you can't really be too mad, but, you know, a wasted chance. You let the other team – I mean, we'll get to Austin Matthews later and around the league because the dude's unreal, but, you know, a natural hat trick against you is not fun either. So, that game, you know – I was kind of hoping that, you know, the hockey gods would be like, all right, they lost this game, but then the Stadium Series game on Saturday would be at least better. And it was in its moments, but, you know, all around the Flyers, just the game itself, as opposed to my experience there, the Flyers had their chances. They couldn't capitalize on them. Again, like you said, Dave, they definitely got goalied by the Devils goalie. You know, the Devils took advantage of the Flyers' mistakes. They scored goals when, you know, it mattered most. I know there was two quick goals there in the second period. And then, you know, the things just got away from the Flyers. My man Tippett had two goals, which was awesome. I was in the crowd yelling Tip season in the midst of MetLife, which was cool. But, yeah, I mean, the game itself, you know, could have been better. It's kind of a bummer. You know, all in all, it's 2 points that you lose, but on a big stage like that in front of, you know, 70,000 plus people, especially in a away game, technically, you want to, you know, take 2 points on the road and then go home. Well, not go home, but go to Chicago, I guess, and, you know, keep that thing rolling. So I think there's been, I'm not worried about, you know, their play, but I think it's just been a little bit awkward because there hasn't been any sort of like, good momentum in the last three games, and hopefully, you know, the win last night, they could build on that. But even that's tough. I mean, they play the Rangers on Saturday afternoon, and the Rangers are obviously no slouch, and I feel like this is going to be, you know, one of the toughest tests of the season, because again, you know, we talked about this where the Flyers played the Rangers on Black Friday and that was a clunker, but you know, the Flyers found their stride over the past few months. The Rangers are obviously the Rangers. They came out there. They had a big win in the Sunday Stadium Series game against the Islanders. They came back and won in overtime. But, you know, this is going to be a tough test for the Flyers. And I think, you know, this is going to be the first time probably all season that, you know, the Flyers have had time to, you know, gel, mesh, whatever you want to call it, as a team on and off the ice. They've gone through the trials and tribulations. You know, with the off-ice stuff. But, again, you know, the Rangers are a good team, and this is I don't even know if I want to say this, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but, you know, it could be a possible playoff matchup between these two teams if all, you know, if all things go well. But, yeah, I mean, I think, again, you know, it's good that they did win the game in Chicago last night because, like Torch said, that scared the shit out of them, and that's a trap game, if you call it anything. I was a little bit surprised that Connor Bedard wasn't really a factor. I think maybe he's not 100% still because of his jaw. He's out there with the bubble, but the dude moves. Yeah.
He also has no help around him.
Yeah. Half the guys in the Blackhawks, I was like, who the hell is this?
I had no idea Jared Tenorti was still in the league. Remember when Jared Tenorti was a thing when he was with Montreal and Nashville? Like, oh, he's supposed to be good. Now it's like, oh, he's still here?
Yep. And I think the one goal, honestly, that the Blackhawks did score was just kind of a unlucky play.
He was nice, though. It was a nice play.
I mean, it was a nice toe drag, but, you know, looking at it after the fact in slow-mo, and it was funny how the entire TNT crew did, like, a reenactment of it during intermission.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, I love those guys. But, like, Sanheim got, what, I think it was like the back of the guy's skate or a shin.
It was Drysdale.
Was it Drysdale?
It was Drysdale.
Okay.
Yeah, he tried to starfish and then didn't starfish properly.
And, yeah, well, you know, yeah. I think, again, you know, what's most important is that you get the win on the road. And then, again, you come home Saturday against, you know, this is arguably the biggest game of the season so far. But, you know, all in all, I'm not worried. And I think that, again, you know, when we're back here next week after the next, you know, 2-3 games, just to kind of see how they've weathered the storm, you know, if we're talking about another I don't know, two losses. I'm trying to look at what's the schedule look like here. I mean, they've got, you know, the Rangers Saturday in Pittsburgh on Sunday. And, you know, the Penguins have been on the downtrend, but
they again, stink.
Yeah, but still, no slap.
Still, it's still Pittsburgh. It's still exactly. Sidney Crosby.
Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, you know, those are two guys that have had our number ever since we've been hockey fans, Dave, you know. So yep. Flyers-Penguins is always a great time. And then we play the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday. So, I mean, again, these are not games that you can overlook, especially, you know, you have two divisional games, then you have an Eastern Conference game, obviously Tampa being in the Atlantic Division. But still, I mean, as I've said before, and you used the word comfortable earlier, I do agree that the Flyers do have, you know, a comfortable lead in the standings, being 7 points up on the Islanders or the Devils. But, you know, you can't get complacent. That's yeah. where things are going to turn south, where, you know, you can't go on a 3-4 game losing streak and, you know, have to start treading water. So I think, again, you know, the Flyers really have to dial it in and continue to build momentum on the season, especially going into the month of March here in the next week, because as I said before, it's that, you know, March to the playoffs, they call it, where that whole month is going to be crucial in the fact that they, you know, they're going to have people nipping at their heels, and it, you know, we've seen it come down. Obviously we've seen it come down to a literal shootout to see who goes to the playoffs. And, you know, you don't want to have that after you've been up 7 points in the standings. But sorry to harp on here for so long. But as you did mention as well, I'll go over this quickly. I was boots on the ground for the stadium series. It was a fun day. Just, you know, got there early. As I was saying before we started recording, tailgated the tailgate. We were waiting outside the parking lots of MetLife. I will say it was cold as shit. that was one, you know, one thing, but, you know, I was layered up with, you know, a bunch of clothing, all that type of stuff. And then kind of felt like I was like a, you know, like a sausage casing, just kind of putting my jersey over everything. And I was like, all right, we're good to go. But no, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Great group of people that I tailgated with, just to be able to see MetLife for the first, I'm pretty sure that's the only time I've ever been to MetLife. But, you know, cool place. Got to see the Jonas Brothers perform, which was fun. The only song, like I said, I knew by the Gaslight Anthem during the first intermission was the song 45 from NHL 13.
You got to get into them, man. They're a really solid band. They've got some solid tracks.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, again, you know, aside from the game itself, you know, being a clunker, it was a great experience being fortunate enough to go to another outdoor game. I sound like a freaking, you know, Penguins or Blackhawks or Bruins fans, or it's like, I've been to three outdoor games now, like, because the Flyers are, what, I think tied for second for the most outdoor games.
Yeah. Just as we bragged about the NHL needs to pick new teams, I'm like, oh, the Flyers have actually been in a lot.
Yeah.
That's whoopsie. Our
instant karma. But no, it was a great day. Also, I mean, you know, again, I think, and again, this doesn't, as humble brag as I can make it sound, and I'm sure you agree with this, Dave, because you were at the 2019 game with us for that, you know, unreal comeback. But something like that, I think, is best experienced in person. It's tough to have, you know, the camera angles and such. Well, four outdoor games, you know, when you're watching at home. I'm sure they do a great job on the broadcast anyway, but no? Okay. No,
ESPN's broadcast sucked. Their hockey coverage is not good. No, straight up.
I'm not the biggest fan of it either. But, yeah, I mean, again, whether it's outside or in an arena, I'm a firm believer that hockey is the best spectator sport, especially live. But, you know, great experience, great day, long day. Like I said before, I didn't get home until about 2:30 in the morning. Luckily, you know, my man GW, George Washington, had my back and was like, listen, take Sunday to recoup and rest. And then, you know, you got Monday off. So I was like, my dude. So, you know, great experience, great game. But, you know, I think, Dave, just thoughts on the, like, the stretch that the Flyers have coming up here.
Yeah, I mean,
I just talked forever. Sorry.
You know, no, you're good, dude. I mean, you had lots of well articulated thoughts.
Thank you.
But there was a lot of big consensus. Like, obviously, going back to that Toronto game, disappointing to lose that game in overtime. But, like, Austin Matthews is Austin Matthews. Like you said, we're going to address him real quick.
Yep.
That same series game, you know, it was a game where the Flyers could have won. They definitely didn't have their A game. You know, the ice is different. The lighting's different. And also for, like, goalies, like, Sam Harrison didn't play particularly well. But also, like, goalies typically struggle in outdoor games because it's different sight lines than what they're used to.
Yeah.
So, like, it stinks that his family flew over from Sweden for the game to watch him kind of perform with that. But the Flyers, you know, they really could have played better. As soon as the Devils scored 1 minute in, I was like, oh, boy, we're in for one of these type of games.
Yeah.
But they made it interesting. They made it close. They made it a game. It was still overall enjoyable to watch from, like, a hockey standpoint. From a broadcast standpoint, ESPN is just boring. It was blatantly, like, I felt like it was a Devils broadcast. Ferraro was actually, like, making digs at the Flyers, as was the ESPN play-by-play guy, like, the announcer. I'm blanking on his name. Wow. But just when Tippett scored his goals, just zero emotion.
Hmm.
And the Devils scored, they were hype. It was like, oh, we're celebrating New Jersey. Like, does ESPN and the NHL realize that, like, half of New Jersey roots for Philadelphia and the Flyers? Like, the only part of Jersey that roots for the Devils is a sliver of Central Jersey and, like, half of North Jersey. The other half of the state roots for the Rangers.
Yeah.
So, like, they're probably this promoting this, like, oh, New Jersey, the Sopranos, you know, from Jersey. Like, cool. Congratulations. Cloud State, moving on. You wish the Flyers would have won, but they still looked the best of all the teams this weekend, and I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
And then last night's game against the Blackhawks, solid W. The NHL and some of the media, I would say, have been posting this one clip of, like, Bedard's, like, skating and how he went through. But then at the very end of the clip, you see Nick Seeler break it up with a great defensive play. And it's like, what was the point of being like, oh, well, Connor Bedard, like, he didn't do anything. Like, why are we promoting a clip of a guy just skating well? It's nothing exciting is out of this. Move on. This is a big fat nothing burger. But to get to the games up ahead, Matt, you know, like you meant, this is a big point of the year. You know, the Flyers haven't played the Rangers well in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers fans have also invaded the Wells Fargo Center. So I'm hoping this Saturday there is a Flyers take back, a Flyers fan take back of the Wells Fargo Center. There better be mostly orange and black there. I know New York fans travel well, and a lot of New York Rangers fans do come down whenever the Flyers and Rangers play each other, and same vice versa. When the Flyers play at MSG, a lot of Flyers fans go up and invade MSG. But there's always been an overwhelming, like, usually the home team has the more amount of fans. Past couple years, Rangers fans have made Flyers-Rangers games in Philly feel like a Rangers home game. That's unacceptable. So I'm hoping with how the Flyers have been playing late, it'll be mostly Flyers fans. I also looked into potentially going to this game and looked at tickets on the resale market right now. After fees, like $130 a ticket to sit in the upper level nosebleeds.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I hope they're pricing that high to scare the New Yorkers away. But, like, it also deterred me, a Flyers fan, going, saying, I'm not paying $130 for nosebleed seats. Are you kidding me? That's, like, more than face value.
Yeah, I think, just to interject quickly, too, I feel like those Saturday afternoon games, especially a Saturday at 3 o'clock, those are, like, you know, when, you know, everyone's available. So I think those prices are definitely skewed on the market. Because, you know, you've seen it where if you go to, like, a Tuesday or Thursday night game, I've gotten tickets this season for $30. Like,
yeah.
But, and plus, again, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into that where it's like who they're playing, all that type of stuff. But, But anyway, go ahead.
So I'm hoping, one, from a fan base perspective, there's more Flyers fans in attendance.
Yeah.
But two, also, I'm hoping this Flyers team that's playing the Rangers now is a different team than played them on Black Friday. And that was the last time that these two teams played each other. So I'm hoping the Flyers can show up and really give it to the Rangers. The Rangers, you know, while they have returned to form a little bit, they struggled a lot early on in the new year and around the holidays in the last month of January. where they kind of slipped a little bit. So I'm hoping the Flyers can play well and really, you know, this would be a huge, huge victory if they not only won for the standings purposes, but also too for like this team going forward for just morale and vibes. This is a big test, and they've beaten some good teams. Like if they can beat the Winnipeg Jets, they should be able to beat the New York Rangers. Yeah. So
and one shutout.
Yeah, we're gonna have it's a huge game to pay. That is like that's a book to market game, and then also then the next day have to travel to Pittsburgh on Sunday for again these are back to back nationally televised games this weekend for the Flyers. Of course, Saturday at home on ABC / ESPN. Boo. Sunday with TNT. Yay. Sunday still against the Penguins is huge. You know, if you can beat the Penguins, they're kind of sort of in it. The Penguins are 24-21-8, and they have 56 points. So they're 4 points out of they're 8 points out of the last wild card slot. If the Flyers beat the Penguins Saturday, you might as well just stick a fork in them. That could be the dagger that kills the Penguins season. And I don't know about you, Matt, but as a Flyers fan, that sounds very, very appealing to me. To say, you know what, the Flyers just made the Pittsburgh Penguins miss the playoffs. Nothing. I mean, Grant, it's not going to – the Penguins to go, oh, Stanley Cup's 1975. Nah. Like, okay, you almost moved to Kansas City. Shut up, move on now. The Penguins will have their Stanley Cup championships. They will always have that over us. Will rightfully admit it. Cool. Yes, your team did things because you were get the generational talents. It is what it is. You still won the things.
Yeah.
But in the moment, in the now, it would feel really damn good to ruin the Penguins season and see them have to do a fire sale at the trade deadline. So that'll be huge. And then Tampa Bay next Tuesday night, the 27th, the last game of the month of February. And the Tampa Bay isn't the same team they have been this year. They're kind of being kept afloat by Nikita Kucherov, who skewered the Flyers last time these two teams played each other. So yet again, another big game against three important teams in a row that are kind of like two arch rivals and kind of a team that you want to hopefully the Flyers can become the next of. Like, the goal is to become like the next Tampa Bay Lightning. But then even go following that up, you know, to start off March, they also then... they kind of had that stretch of three really kind of tough games in a row with kind of two games that could be two more trap games. Because the first two games in March, Friday, March 1st, they're away in D.C. to face the Caps. And then Saturday the 2nd, they host the Ottawa Senators. So you go from three really important and two good teams in the stretch of three games then to three other games where you're like, these teams aren't so hot. So this is really a key stretch, and you know March has got some huge games here. Luckily, the Flyers, not a whole lot of travel. They have a whole lot of home games in March and April to end the year. They're also all in the Eastern time zone, which is nice. But there's a lot of divisional games coming up, so this is really an important stretch to the season. And if they can keep things going the way they're going, they will clinch a playoff spot. But it's all about looking here in the now, and here in the now is they've got the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins to take care of this weekend. If you can get two victories on back-to-back days where you get 4 points in the standings, but more importantly, 4 points in your division, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is the time in any sport where they say that you're supposed to be playing your best whatever you play down the stretch going into the playoffs. And if the Flyers are truly going to be a playoff team, they need to begin to find that next gear and, you know, prove to everyone that they are worthy of being in the playoffs, because we've seen the way that this team can play. And, you know, if they can somehow bottle that up and, you know, have that as their secret stuff, like from the original Space Jam, then, you know, watch out. But it's going to be, again, you know, March is going to be an interesting month aside from just this weekend alone. But, you know, with the trade deadline, all that type of stuff, it's only going to get crazier. So I think we're going to see you know, what this team is truly made of. And, you know, one game at a time still, though. But, you know, Dave, I think, again, you know, we've said all we can say about the Flyers over the past week or so here. What say you that we get into some around the league quick before we wrap things up for the week?
I love the sound of that.
So that you don't have to sleep on the couch because of not being able to spend time with your wife. Just a couple of things quickly here tonight. I think the big news, as we have alluded to multiple times, is the man himself they call Austin Matthews. If you didn't know, you'll know now. But just last night...
Thank you for riffing there, by the way, not to interrupt. I desperately needed to blow my nose and didn't want to interrupt the pod to do it. So I had to call an audible. Get pro right move. Out here.
Love pro it. Move muting your mic. But in his home state of Arizona, Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs scored his 50th and 51st goals last night in Mullet Arena against the Arizona Coyotes. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say two different things here at once. What I'll say next is that he became the fastest United States-born player to score 50 goals in a season. And I think, let's see. He also broke his own record of 50 goals in 62 games, which was, how did he break his own record? Oh, I guess prior to that, it was held by Kevin Stevens of the 1992-93 Penguins. How does that make sense if the guy was on a different team? Anyway.
Maybe a typo by the NHL.com article writer.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. He also became the fastest active player in the NHL to hit the mark, breaking a record of 61 games set by Connor McDavid of the Oilers, heard of him, last season. Also, if you didn't know, Wayne Gretzky holds the NHL record as the fastest player to 50 goals, doing it in just 39 games for the
That record will never be broken.
Yeah. Matthews, again, who grew up a Coyotes fan about 5 miles from the arena in Tempe, reached the 50-goal milestone for the second time in 3 seasons. He also had 60 goals. I'm sure he'll have 60-plus this season. But he had 60 goals back in 2021-22 and is the 9th fastest player to reach 50 goals over the past 35 seasons and 4th active player with multiple 50-goal seasons, joining Alex Ovechkin, Leon Draisaitl, and Steven Stamkos. So, I mean, this dude is in, you know, elite company, and he's, you know,
he's in his mid-20s.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, a hell of a way to go for a career. So
I mean, he scored at the same pace as Alex Ovechkin did when Ovi was in his prime.
Yeah, so 26 years old, there we go. He leads the league in goals since entering the NHL and is on pace to score 76 goals this season. So, I mean...
He can do it.
Yeah, I mean, you got, 25 games left maybe? It's not far-fetched for him to be a goal-per-game player. So
the Leafs have played 55 games.
So, 26, 27?
They play 82.
Get the calculator out. I'm terrible at math.
Same here. 82 minus 55. 27 games.
I got marbles in my mouth tonight. Yeah, so... That's easily doable. I mean, the kid just had a natural hat trick the other night against the Flyers, so, you know.
He actually had natural hat tricks in back-to-back games. In the Flyers game last week, and then the very next game, he scored another hat trick again.
Yeah, so, but yeah, Dave, you know, Austin Matthews again in elite company, continuing to prove that he's a superstar. Just, you know, your thoughts surrounding this feat that he accomplished.
I mean, it's unreal. Even Ovi hasn't done something like this. Even though Ovi scored a buttload of goals in his career, I never heard of Ovi going, "Oh yeah, he scored, you know, 51 goals in 54 games." Like it's ridiculous to me. He's just a goal scoring machine. He is currently right now in today's National Hockey League the best natural goal scorer. Although don't blink now, Alex Ovechkin, after only having 8 goals through his first, you know, half of the season, in the past 3 weeks, he's had 8 more goals and doubled his goal scoring. So he's found his gear again. But Matthews is just, he's what the game really needed. It's a shame he's with Toronto, because as of right now, it's probably not looking like he's going to win anything, because the Leafs, I personally think, are, as a franchise, as a hockey team, are built wrong. They've got way too much money put into too many elite offensive similar players. They don't have enough goaltending, and they don't have enough important team overall defense to win in the playoffs when it matters. But that being said, Austin Matthews is the creme de creme elite of elite when it comes to goal scorers. And, you know, he really is. Again, it's like when the Flyers lost the game, that game to Toronto, they lost because they didn't have an Austin Matthews. And you hope one day that the Flyers can have someone like that, and perhaps they might in Matvei Michkov, but only time will tell. But Matthews is a freak. And if there ever came a day where somehow the Flyers were able to get their hands on him somehow, they would be idiots to not do it. So yeah, we'll see. He's been one of my favorite hockey players since he came into the league, mainly because he's an American, outside of the Flyers. I remember watching his debut. You know, he had 4 goals when he debuted in the National Hockey League, even though the Leafs lost that game.
Yeah.
I knew, like, okay, this kid's going to be something special. So he's continued that. And he's a great ambassador for the game, you know, being of Hispanic descent, being his mom is from Mexico. Yep. He opens up a door for there to be a lot more, you know, Hispanic fans coming to the game of hockey. And now that, because of Austin Matthews, there's even talks of the NHL doing a global series game in Mexico City, which is huge. And that's great for the game of hockey. It's going to help grow the sport. And it's because of Austin Matthews. You know, maybe one day the Arizona Coyotes will get their crap together as a franchise. That'll be huge for the game, because I know there are legitimate hockey fans in Arizona, just their organization's run by clowns. But no, Austin Matthews, he's a pioneer of the game. And, you know, if Alex Ovechkin might be able to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record, why isn't Austin Matthews going to be spoken about in the same light? You know, he is... If he can keep up his goal scoring pace the way he's doing it right now, he'll be a better goal scorer than Alex Ovechkin. And that says a lot. So I love him. Sucks that he's on Toronto, but he's a hell of a player. And 51 goals in 54 games is very, very impressive.
Yeah. But Dave, I think, you know, for time's sake, that will kind of wrap up the brunt of the Around the League. I do have some... actually, 3 fun topics to end with tonight. A couple announcements were made over the weekend about some locations for future NHL events. I'm sure you saw both of these. But first, starting with so to recap quickly, if you didn't know, the second Stadium Series game, the Rangers and the Islanders was a thriller. Again, the Rangers came back from, 3 goals?
Yeah, I think they were down 4-1.
Yeah.
In the third period?
Yep. They tied the game, I believe, under a minute left, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Artemi Panarin won the game in overtime after it was reviewed. Obviously, it was, you know, deemed a good goal. So that was, you know, a thriller. Overall, you know, I know that we rag on the NHL about the frequency of outdoor games, but, I mean, that's a hell of a weekend to have 140,000-plus fans attend 2 games. So, you know, props to the NHL for putting on such a, you know, spectacle, and for all the fans out there showing up, regardless of if we hate you or not, because, you know, the Devils, the Rangers, and the Islanders sure are not liked by Flyers fans. But, you know, they don't like us either, but you know what they say, no one likes us, we don't care. So,
exactly.
But speaking of the Stadium Series, it was announced on the 21st, that was yesterday. This was announced, I think it was announced a couple of days ago. But
it was announced are you talking about the Detroit Columbus game at Ohio State? Boo.
Yeah. But yeah, this article is from yesterday. Maybe they updated it yesterday, but it was announced over the weekend. From CBS Sports, Chris Bengel solid name. But like you said, Dave, I'm sure you're thrilled about this one as a Penn State fan. Another chapter in a Michigan-Ohio rivalry will be written in 2025 with the Columbus Blue Jackets hosting the Detroit Red Wings in an outdoor game at Ohio Stadium on March 1st, 2025. The iconic stadium, which has been dubbed the Horseshoe, has consistently held over 110,000 fans for college football games, including many matchups between Michigan and Ohio State. This will be the first marquee event in Columbus since the Blue Jackets hosted the 2015 NHL All-Star Game. This all came to fruition because of the fact that, according to The Athletic, the NHL sent a group of executives headed by President of Creative Development Steve Mayer to Ohio Stadium to watch the Ohio State-Michigan State game on November 11th to scout the venue for a potential matchup. If you were curious, and this is a little bit of trivia for you all out there, maybe for you too, Dave, this is the first time that the Blue Jackets will ever be in an outdoor game. So this will make that only two teams currently that, you know, are not slated to play outside. If you know those two teams that remain.
Who haven't played an outdoor game?
Yeah.
There's only two teams in the entire league who haven't done an outdoor game?
Yep.
Well, one's Arizona.
Yep.
And then the other, Eastern or Western Conference?
Eastern.
Oh, Florida.
Yes. So, obviously, again, with the Blue Jackets slated to host their outdoor game, that'll only make the Yotes and the Panthers the only two teams to not play in one of the league's 41 outdoor games over the past, what, 15 years now?
Just have them play each other. Just have them go to, like, Iowa or something.
Iowa.
Be a complete, like, neutral site where it's cold because you have two warm market teams. They can't – neither place – I mean, Arizona has their own arena issues, but you can't have outdoor ice in Arizona, and you can't have outdoor ice in freaking Miami.
Yeah. But again, that game is scheduled to be played on March 1st of 2025. Dave, again, I know as a Penn State fan, I'm sure you're not thrilled about this being a, you know, Michigan-Ohio rivalry, but it's good for the game, as they say.
Yeah, it's good for the game. It's just I wish the Columbus Blue Jackets didn't stink as a franchise and a team. Like, they're not a good hockey team at all. That's like, true, they're not going to be fun to watch outside.
They just didn't relieve their GM of his duties as well recently.
Freaking finally. The dude's been running the team to the ground for a decade. They do have good uniforms. So I'm actually looking forward to this future jersey watch a year from now when the Blue Jackets unveil their Stadium Series jerseys. And also, I mean, Detroit's an up-and-coming team. They're a good hockey team again. You know, it'll be interesting. They're actually two teams that used to be old teams that were in the Central Division in the Western Conference before they got moved over to the East, to the Eastern Conference. So a bit of an old-time rivalry there. I know, I'm pretty sure Detroit beat Columbus, like swept them when the Blue Jackets made the playoffs for the first time ever. So, I mean, this is a big thing for Columbus. I shit on the hockey team. But for the fan base, I'm happy for Blue Jackets fans because they are a rabid fan base that loves ice hockey. Like, Columbus, Ohio is an underrated hockey market and an underrated hockey city. Like, even though they're a division rival of the Flyers, I want to see them do well because those fans have really been through a lot. The Blue Jackets have, in their entire franchise, only have one playoff series win. They've never made it past the second round. It's like they deserve some good, and they've been through a lot of shit the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be good. Detroit, obviously, like I said, they're a good up-and-coming team. Years and years and years and years and years of success for the Red Wings. But overall, I think it'll be a good, potentially could be a very good hockey game. But... you know, it'll be hopefully, like, that's the only Stadium Series game next year. Like, you do that, and you do the Winter Classic, and that's it for outdoor games.
Yeah, that's true. I know
we were talking about, I'm not trying to ramble on here, Matt, but I don't know if maybe you agree with this point or not, but I know people are kind of getting fed up with the outdoor game thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was mentioned by Grinnelli on Chicklets this week. What if the NHL got rid of the Winter Classic and Safe Series games, but made their All-Star game be an outdoor event?
That'd be cool.
Then you just do, it's one game once a year, and it's the All-Stars.
Yeah.
I feel like the players would have a lot more fun. I think the fans would have a lot more fun at the All-Star game.
Itself. 3-on-3 outdoor game, like, you know, just how God intended hockey to be.
That would be unreal.
That'd be pretty sick. No, that's a great idea. Until we possibly get to that someday, Dave.
Yes.
Speaking of the All-Star game, we are going from the We're going from Columbus to we need to insert that womp womp sound, Long Island, New York, for the 2026 All-Star game. Will be played in Elmont, New York, which is the home of UBS Arena, which is the home of the New York Islanders. As a biased Flyers fan, one of the most white bread organizations in the entire NHL, you see all these cool player entrances for these outdoor games, and then you have the New York Islanders coming in dressed like they're about to go to a stockholders meeting. Because Lou Lamoriello is too much of a stick in the mud to let them have any fun. So, the dates and times for that All-Star weekend will be announced at a later date, the league said. But the 2026 All-Star game will be the nicest NHL All-Star game because it will be the 69th in league history. So there's a positive there. We can make 69 jokes about it. And then, if you're curious, the league will not hold an All-Star game next year because of the 2025 Four Nations Face-Off, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, which will take place next season, a tournament featuring the United States, Canada, Sweden, and Finland, taking place February 12th to 20th. The All-Star game at UBS Arena will also be played in advance of the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milan, Italy, where NHL players will be competing for the first time since the 2014 Sochi Olympics. So I guess a lot of players will be happy to go from Long Island, New York to Milan, Italy, because, I mean, those sure as hell are two very different places, you know, culturally and scenic. So, but Dave, you know, any thoughts on the announcement of... So I will say one thing quickly, not to cut you off, but I was hoping that the NHL would recognize that 2026, is, I think it's a 250th anniversary of America, like, as a country. And obviously the World Cup, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, again, of all places, is coming to New Jersey, but also they have semifinal games that are going to be happening in Philadelphia at the Link, which is going to be awesome. I think that's going to be great for, you know, the tri-state area. But why not also have, you know, the NHL All-Star game here in the Cradle of Liberty, Philadelphia, on the 250th anniversary of, you know, the greatest country in the world, the United States. I mean, that's a missed opportunity.
No, I get, I mean, while Long Island is kind of a boring place to have the All-Star game and have the most boring team in hockey, the Islanders, host it, logistically, it makes sense. Because you have to think a lot of the players who are going to be at the All-Star game will also be representing their countries in the Olympics. And I don't know if you know this, Matt, but there are some pretty big, important airports in the greater New York City area that have a lot of international flights. I know this is radical information that's groundbreaking to you. I know. It just makes logistically, it makes sense for those players. Like, not every airport in the U.S. has international flights. So the fact that these players, it makes easy for them travel wise. The NHL probably went, there we go, third time's the charm. Where can we have this that, one, our players will still go to it, but then also will make their traveling easy? And it's New York. Probably couldn't do it. I mean, MSG, I think, would have been cooler.
Yeah.
Because then you're right in, you know, you're at Madison Square Garden, not UBS Arena. So.
Well, at least it's not the Barclays Center anymore.
Thank Christ.
I don't think they're there anyway, but, you know.
I mean, hopefully one day the NHL will return. I mean, I think the last time the All-Star game was held in Philadelphia was in the 80s. So it would be nice for the NHL to come back to Philadelphia for an All-Star game. But no, New York makes the most sense for that, for the players to go off to the Olympics. So I'm not going to have too many gripes about it. But
1992, the All-Star game was at the Spectrum, the 43rd All-Star game.
Why do I think it was in the 80s? So 92. Okay.
16 goals. The Campbell Conference defeated the Wales Conference 10-6.
I was like 1 1/4 years old. The last time the All-Star game was in Philadelphia.
I was 3 years away from being born.
It was February of 92.
Yeah.
Yeah. May of 91. So I wasn't even a year old yet.
Brett Hull was the MVP. 17,380. Oh, this is cool. We could do a whole podcast on this. Anyway, the All-Star Game 2026 should be fun. Obviously, that Four Nations face-off is going to be cool next year as well. And then just a couple more quick things here. Dave, we do have a jersey watch from this past weekend, which is, you know, already two thumbs up. If you didn't know, we actually touched on the Lightning a few weeks ago when they came out with their Gasparilla / Pirate themed jerseys. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, those should have been what's it called? More than just a warm-up jersey. They're still sick, though. I would buy one if they weren't so expensive. But over the weekend, they did come out with their tribute to their Stanley Cup teams from 2004 and, was it 1996? These, I mean, are, you know, sharp, if you want to call it that. They're awesome.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, a mainly black base with a white waist cuff. You know, you have the armbands of blue and white, and then you have, you know, the old school, like, 04/ like, early 2000s Lightning logo. But then you also have Tampa Bay Lightning Hockey Club in, like, a blue circle around it. Just Google it. They're sick. And then I believe also the first time that they wore them, Andrei Vasilevsky's goaltender setup was, you know, pretty much a carbon copy of, was it Hobby Boulin?
Yep, the Boulin wall.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are sick. You know, if I had enough room and money to buy every jersey that I ever liked, I would, you know, definitely add this to the collection. But Dave, your thoughts on these jerseys, I'm sure, you know.
Oh, they're phenomenal sweaters. The Tampa Bay Lightning need a black base jersey. They wore one for so long. Their current home and away jerseys they wear essentially are just Toronto Maple Leafs jerseys with some black in them. They're kind of boring. They need to do something to spruce up their color scheme. These jerseys, I think, are unreal. They've been getting a lot of backlash from some fans online. I think those fans are idiots. These jerseys are perfect. They are amazing. They're a nice current, like, 2024, you know, tribute to those old Lightning teams. And the creme de la creme, the piece de, you know, resistance, you know, was Vasilevsky getting those custom Bauer pads to look just like Hobby Boulin's pads from 04. Like, just chef's kiss. Like, well done. It's a shame the Lightning lost in those jerseys already, because you would have thought, they can't lose in these things. They're unreal. But if I'm the Lightning, and if you're looking to rebrand, especially as the current team that won championships is starting to get older, maybe you want to do something to rebrand to, you make these your current home jerseys, so then make a road alternate of them to go with it. So we'll see. But all in all, I think this is a fantastic sweater.
Definitely.
No complaints from me whatsoever.
I love it. And then to end things today in arguably one of the best ways possible, Today is a holiday, Dave. I don't know if you knew that.
It is.
It's National Margarita Day, first of all. So, you know, it's 9:16. Maybe have a nice cold frosty margarita after this. I don't have anything to make one, so.
Are you a salt on the rim or a sugar on the rim guy?
I'm a sugar on the rim guy.
Dude, same.
Yeah.
I don't like combining salt in my alcohol. I don't.
Well, it's funny because, like, obviously, if I take a tequila shot, I'll do salt, like, on, like,
salt and lime, yeah.
Yeah, but if I'm having a marg, definitely sugar.
Yeah, that's the move.
And then I like it on the rocks as opposed to, like, a slushy. I do love a good slushy, especially if there's alcohol in it. But, you know, if I'm just sipping on one, maybe just give me, you know, sorry to the turtles out there, but give me a nice plastic straw and, you know, sugar on the rim, and I'm good to go.
Yeah,
so.
I'm a big, are you like an OG, like a lime margarita? I know because they make different flavors now, but like a classic.
It's tough, dude. It's tough. I mean, I'm always willing to branch out, believe me.
A blood orange margarita is pretty refreshing on a nice summer day.
I will say, you know, if I had to compare the classic margarita to like a hockey player, it's tough. I feel like, you know, comparing it to a Flyer, maybe like, you know, Mike Richards, like, you know, gets the job done, dependable, a leader, will always be there for you, like, will always be remembered, like that type of thing. So I would put just like a classic, like, you know, lemon lime margarita as like a Mike Richards type, where, you know, a guy who's just always there, you know, a savvy vet of the margarita world, you know, who can, you know, always be a light in the darkness. So yes, that's my analogy to margaritas and the Flyers.
I'm also a big beer-rita guy. Nothing like a nice frozen margarita with the Corona stuck in it upside down. That really gets the rig rolling.
But
anyway,
aside from it being National Margarita Day, as we go off the rails, the other holiday, if you want to call it, especially for hockey fans, today, February 22nd, marks the 44th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. Not even a stretch that this was arguably the greatest sporting event in history. You know, due to the political circumstances surrounding it, due to the, you know, the sheer underdogness that the United States team had against the former Soviet Union, the USSR, you know, that was a where were you moment if you were alive. I know we talked about the Olympics a couple times a couple weeks ago and just kind of being like, you know, imagine if you had missed that game somehow. But I would hope that no one, you know, I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy to miss the Miracle on Ice if they had the chance to either be there, especially, but to watch it on TV. But again, you know, back in 1980 at a place called Lake Placid, New York, the United States hockey team defeats, you know, the Goliath the USSR Soviet Union team 4-3. I don't think this is a very little fact now, but, you know, when I was first growing up and getting into hockey, there was something in me where I'm sure a lot of people felt this too, but like that wasn't the gold medal game. That was the semifinal game.
It was a semifinal game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, it's so hard to describe. And again, we weren't even alive for that day for another, you know, 12, 15 years.
I was born 11 years later.
Yeah. So, but again, I mean, you know, we've seen Miracle countless amounts of times. You see all the stuff today going on about it. Like, there's no better sporting event that may ever happen or have a bigger impact than that. Because again, you know, politically, the United States and the Soviet Union were at the height of the Cold War. There was, you know, that threat in the back of everyone's minds about the fact that the world could have ended because of a nuclear holocaust, which was wild. But, you know, it gave people a reason to believe in miracles. I think that's maybe from the movie. I'm not sure. But anyway, You know, Miracle itself, the movie, is also one of the best sports movies ever made. You know, Kurt Russell, and I don't really know any of the other actors' names, sorry. But Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks, just, you know, a great performance. And you know, you can't say enough about how, again, impactful this game was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, up until just a couple of years ago, it was, if not the, it's one of the biggest games in USA hockey history. One of the biggest games in ice hockey history. It was a very important thing. At times, you know, in 1980, the country wasn't doing so hot here in the U.S. And, you know, it really helped galvanize a nation. You know, at the time, it was amateur athletes. Mm-hmm. And the Soviets were even beating the NHL All-Stars. Like, they were like the best hockey team on planet Earth. They were unbeatable. And a team of young college players led by Herb Brooks came in and their legs, you know, fed the wolf. They went again and again and again and got the job done. And, you know, like my one aunt who told me, she's like, she had a crush. Every girl had a crush on Mike Ruzioni, and everyone was watching that game. And some of you, my grandparents who aren't the biggest hockey fans, even they talked about it. Like, I know when the movie came out back in the day,
yeah,
they took the whole family. We all went to see it. I don't know if you know this, but where the strip in near Jenkintown, where the Planet Fitness is near Trader Joe's,
mm-hmm.
that used to be an old movie theater. And that's where I saw Miracle. We went on.
I was at that movie theater a couple times.
Yeah. There used to be a really good old Jewish deli next to it too. Had really great birch beer. Phenomenal spot back in the day. But we went. I know we went on. I think it was over Christmas break. It wasn't New Year's Eve, but it might have been the day before New Year's Eve when Miracle came out. And the whole family, grandparents, sister, cousins, aunt, uncles, we went and saw it. And that was even before I was like a really big hockey fan. But it was like, whoa. And now, it is a movie I watch on the reg, and one of the bigger reasons as to why I love my wife is because when I learned we started dating, she can recite lines and passages from this movie off the tip of her tongue. Nice. She can do the whole bar scene speech of Jack O'Callaghan saying, "And that guy took the ring right off my finger." She knew the whole thing word from word, and it's quite impressive. And if I didn't want to embarrass her, I would call her out right now to do it on the podcast, but maybe another time.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good lines in that anyway. You love the "I'm Ralph Cox, I'm from wherever, it's not going to get me hit."
Yeah.
Great line. I mean, there's so many good lines in that. But yeah, it's, I mean, just again, you can't.
You want me to take your test? I'll take your test. No, I want the guy in the net who wouldn't take the test.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Gets me fired up.
So yeah, like I said, you know, a few fun things to end it tonight. Dave, I've had marbles in my mouth all night, so I'm going to throw it over to you before I further embarrass myself because of the fact that I can't talk tonight. But, you know, I know you've got a couple supports and shout-outs to give us as usual. But, you know, take it away and wrap things up for us.
Yes. This is the point now where I tell all of our listeners, if you like what we do, please check out our affiliates and partners, in one being the Pod Street Boys, pumping out weekly content as always. It's always excellent. And two, our newest affiliates in the Pheps Sports Blog. We had Rocco on last week. We already have a page on their website. They're reposting our articles. Rocco tweets a lot from the blog, so I'm trying to retweet his articles as they come through when I see them on our podcast Twitter, but the man is pumping articles out left and right. So if you do see us repost our articles on our socials, please give him a read. And if you're an up-and-coming sports writer who's local, Rocco's looking for writers. So hop on that train, shoot him a DM on the socials. So make sure you check out the Pod Street Bullies and the Pheps Sports Blog. Matt, that's all I've got this evening. So on that note, everyone, we will be back next week. A lot of big key games to the Flyers this weekend. So let's hope we're talking about some more victories come probably a week from tonight, as always. But with that, everyone, thank you for your support and your listens as always. Good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.